Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your conference call entitled A Successful Bailout for Main Street and Wall Street, What Does $700 Billion Mean? All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following the presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Mr. John Neuer. John, the floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Doug, and I want to thank everybody for joining us on this hectic day. Before we begin, I just wanted to give some contact information. If anybody has follow-up questions, if they have to jump off the call and can't ask their question, or they wanted to talk to one of the experts offline, I want to just give you my contact info. Again, my name is John Neuroer, and my email is jnnancyeurohr@AmericanProgressAction.org. So if you need anything after the call, please shoot me an email. I want to just introduce quickly the folks on the call. We're going to have them do 2 to 3 minute introductions each and then quickly turn it over for question and answer. On today's call, Michael Barr, who's a senior fellow here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund and also a professor of law at the University of Michigan. We have Michael Ettlinger, who is the Vice President for Economic Policy here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He was formerly Director of the Economic Analysis and Research Network at EPI. Andrew Jakobovics, who is the Associate Director for the Economic Mobility Program here. And then finally, Ed Paisley, who's the Vice President for Editorial and spent many years as a business and finance journalist. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Ed. He's going to begin, and we'll pass it from one expert to the other, and then, again, quickly open it up for question and answer. And the call today is being recorded. It'll be available on our website just for your information. So for your note-taking, it'll be available for you to listen to after the call. So right now I'll turn it over to Ed.
Okay. I'm going to give a brief brief introduction to how we got where we are now. In the last few days, kind of looking directly at the legislation that was put forward by Secretary Paulson, and then now what's going on the Hill. As probably you're all aware, on Sunday or over the weekend, Secretary Paulson presented a very thin, bare-boned proposal of how he would spend the $700 billion. And in that proposal, he did not really define who would police how he would spend it, how he would spend it, or in fact, in which way he would purchase the assets to help bail out Wall Street. The Congress reacted, not surprisingly, with a little bit of shock that there weren't enough details in there. And over the past weekend, there's been a lot of work done, still going on today, to try and put more meat on this so that taxpayers and homeowners are protected, as well as helping financial institutions cope with the financial crisis. At this point right now on Capitol Hill, it's pretty fluid, so to say definitively that something is in or out of the draft is very difficult, but I think it's fair to sum up with this. It's clear that that Congress will insist on some kind of accountability mechanism, some kind of oversight supervisory board, so that the Treasury doesn't just spend $700 billion how it pleases, which obviously doesn't work. It's also pretty clear that there will be steps included in this so that individual homeowners in the U.S. housing market is helped into a recovery process while financial institutions are helped to cope with the problems that they brought on themselves with the manner in which they financed the housing boom, especially over the last 8 years. What will not be in this is obviously steps to make sure it doesn't happen again. Over the past 8 years, there have been a number of serious supervisory missteps that Congress will have to correct and the next administration will have to correct. They're not going to deal with that now. There's not enough time because of the instability of the global markets right now. One final thing to add, something will be in there because they have to delineate it in how the Treasury will go about purchasing these bad debts, these bad mortgages and mortgage-backed securities back from financial institutions so that the taxpayer is not dumped with bad assets that are overpriced because Wall Street and other institutions are trying to dump it on the American people. There will be an auction in place so that the U.S. government takes the lowest price for these bids. I think that sums it up for where we're at now. I'm going to pass it over to Andrew.
Thank you, Ed. Our perspective has always been that the homeowners must be front and center in any of the efforts to stabilize the global credit markets, because ultimately the mortgage-backed assets that are currently in severe distress that the Treasury is considering purchasing obviously are linked to the mortgages that many homeowners are currently having problems making the payments on. And if, in fact, Treasury takes over these assets without any mechanism to restructure those underlying mortgages, basically we're just delaying the inevitable. I mean, it's sort of like, even if Treasury buys the stuff at a discount, it's kind of like getting a cheap upgrade on the Titanic. If you want to think about the fact that until the underlying mortgages are restructured so that they can be sustained, then nothing's going to really happen positively on Wall Street. There may obviously be some rise in the value of those distressed assets over time, but until the American people can actually afford their mortgages, it's unlikely that both the credit will flow back into Wall Street and as well as the confidence that the underlying assets are, in fact, as valuable as advertised. So with that, I'll turn it over to Michael Barr to give a little more specifics as to how we would potentially address those issues.
Thanks, Andrew. So as Andrew pointed out, the basic thrust of the Treasury plan was really focused on how to move the troubled mortgage-backed securities and collateralized debt obligations off the books of financial institutions into the Treasury, but not at all on how to get loan restructuring for homeowners who are facing troubled mortgage loans. And we developed a plan last January and testifying on it that would develop a system to let Treasury free up the frozen assets on the books of the financial institutions like the Treasury plan, but would have embedded in it the key mechanisms needed to get homeowners on firm ground. And there are a few key steps. First, as we proposed last year, Treasury would offer to run a series of auctions to purchase whole mortgages and pools of home mortgages rather than auctions or procedures to get simply an interest in the tranche of securities. Congress would need to revise the tax and accounting rules governing trusts so that servicers and trustees would have a strong incentive and legal capacity to participate in the program. And in particular, real estate mortgage investment conduit status would be denied to trusts that do not permit participation on a voluntary basis in the auctions. And accounting rules would be modified so that asset sales under the program would not trigger any change in their trust status. Once Treasury runs these auctions and takes the assets at the lowest price, the holder, obviously the existing holder of the mortgage, would be taken out. They'd get steeply discounted value for their asset, but would be able to move forward and clean up their books, get renewed liquidity. A Treasury would cram down second lien holders, home equity lenders, giving them a partial payment so that everybody takes a haircut in the auction and Treasury can clear the way to restructure the troubled loans. Once Treasury has these mortgages, it can restructure eligible loans for owner-occupants of primary residences where necessary. They'd include shared equity approaches so that homeowners share responsibility for any restructuring that takes place. And then Treasury can provide a credit enhancement on these restructured mortgages, get them back into the market, get the global financial system back on its feet. So this plan is a way of helping Wall Street, but also helping Main Street, and really getting to the root cause of the crisis.
Hi.
Let me then turn it over to Michael, the other Michael.
Hi, thank you, Michael. This is Michael Ettlinger. I'm going to talk a little bit about oversight and accountability. As Ed described, the initial proposal out of Treasury was extremely broad in the authority it gave to the Secretary of the Treasury. I mean, basically, it authorized him to spend $700 billion to buy mortgage-related assets, which are very broadly defined, in almost any matter he saw fit, and conversely also to sell those assets also on any terms that he saw fit. And, you know, he also proposed that his action be non-reviewable in any court or any administrative body. So for several reasons, we think there ought to be a board with some real authority controlling this, not just Paulson. you know, first of all, it's never a good idea to give any single person that much power over that much money. Second, Paulson is from Wall Street. These are his people. The purpose of the plan is to rescue Wall Street, and that's going to be his overriding consideration, as it has been. You know, buying $200 billion worth of assets for $700 billion would certainly rescue Wall Street, but it wouldn't be a very good deal for taxpayers. So there ought to be people formally involved in the decision-making who can, as the deals are cut, evaluate whether the money is being well spent and have the power to put the brakes on if it isn't. Third, the plan authorizes $700 billion, but it's not like there's some scientific formula that is telling us that's the exact right amount. And there are a lot of other things we could be investing in to help our economy, or we could just not be borrowing as much money. So it would be really good. It would be, I think, important to have people overseeing this process who are representing a broader range of perspectives than just Wall Street to make an assessment about whether, as this process goes on, all of the money really needs to be spent. And the last thing is that the other ideas that have been spoken of here, other aspects that should be put into what is done, these are things that Paulson has not embraced, and it seems unlikely that he's going to give them a high priority if he has unilateral power over how the legislation is implemented, even if these things are in the legislation. So, in addition to the board, there are other accountability provisions that should be in place. I mean, public reporting, there ought to be transparency as to who's being hired to do the deals for Treasury. Also, it would protect the taxpayers if there were either guarantees as to the value of the assets of some sort or a taxpayer stake in the upside for firms that are being helped out.
And then, Doug, I think at this point what we'll do is turn it over for question and answer.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We will take questions in the order that they are received. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. And if at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound sign. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. And we have our first question coming from Cesar Munoz from the EFE. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I wanted to ask you, does it concern you that the federal government is becoming so involved in the economy? I mean, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, all these bailouts, I mean, this new role of the federal government in the economy. And a related question to that is whether you fear that foreigners are going to lose, trust on U.S. bonds and the U.S. economy just because the U.S. government will have so much bad debt on its books. Thank you.
They're all pointing at me. this is Michael Ettlinger. Well, I'm not concerned in general about the government having too big a role in the economy here. I think to some extent this is actually the result of a failure to have a bigger role in the economy, to keep an eye on what was going on and take care of these problems long before they rose to the level that's causing, that's creating the need for this huge, intervention. So that isn't, if it's well done, this will be good for the economy, and I'm not concerned about it. I think it is, I think we've seen a number of things in U.S. policy in a number of areas, not just economic policy, in recent years, where we have lost the support and faith of the rest of the world. And I think, the failure to adequately monitor and regulate our own markets is really something that might have repercussions in terms of others being willing to invest here. And I just think that the people in charge of keeping an eye on these things didn't value that highly enough, either for maintaining faith in those markets domestically among domestic investors, who also obviously have a choice on where they invest, or for people around the world.
And we have another phone on the question on the phone coming from David Hogberg from Investors Business Daily. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, gentlemen, for doing this this conference call. I just have a quick two-part question. First, does this sort of portend more government involvement in the economy going forward? And basically, I mean, does it mean more regulation, more bailouts, you know, or are we sort of entering a new era of increased government involvement in the economy? And second, is to what extent is this a market failure? You know, the Wall Street Journal had an op-ed today basically arguing that it was more bad government policy, whether it was, you know, interest rates, Fed interest rates too low, things like the Community Reinvestment Act, the implicit backing of taxpayer backing of Fannie and Freddie. So I hope you could address both those questions. Thank you.
Sure. This is Michael Barr. Let me take the second question first, and then we'll respond. I think that the journal has it exactly backwards. I mean, if you look at the failures in the subprime crisis that started this off, these were failure of investment banks, of independent mortgage companies, of subprime lenders that were the least lightly regulated and the most prone to abuse in the system. The Community Reinvestment Act has a long, strong history since 1977 of increasing prime lending to low and moderate income borrowers without the kind of shenanigans we've seen in the current market. And the very institutions that were at the heart of the current crisis were those that are not covered by the Community Reinvestment Act. So I just think the facts are completely wrong. If you want to look going forward, I think that, you know, it's somewhat stunning that this administration, which has had quite strong ideological blinders for the last 8 years against appropriate regulation of the mortgage sector, against appropriate regulation of the securities sector, this administration is now bailed out huge swaths of the American economy. And so I think that it's somewhat ironic that an administration that was so focused on deregulating this sector is now ending up owning it.
Okay. First question.
I'm sorry. I thought that my second comment was addressed to your first question, which is, I think going forward we're going to see significant continued regulation, significant new regulation of this sector. I think that the moves that you saw Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs make over the weekend to become bank holding companies are a recognition that a strong regulatory structure is actually in their interest.
This is Michael Ellinger. Okay. I could just jump in and say, you know, put a little bit of an exclamation point on one part of what Michael said, and that's that, look, I think that those who have been against any form of shepherding of the economy by the government are now in desperate spin mode to come up with some rationale for why this isn't the fault of a failure to properly shepherd the economy by the government. So they're pointing to these, you know, these things that government has done and desperately trying to connect them to what's happening, but it's just not real.
Okay, thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment at this time, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And we have our next phone question coming from Adrienne Appel from Intercrest Service. Please go ahead.
Hi. Is it realistic that taxpayers will, in a way, get this money back as some are contending?
This is Michael.
I think it's very hard to know until we know whether the details of the program are going to be gotten right, what to expect taxpayer return to be. Certainly, as the initial, if you take the initial Treasury program as a guide, it would be impossible to answer the question because there's no oversight, no transparency, no standards involved. And I think if we were to go that route, it would be a serious mistake,
and no one would be able to tell you whether or not there'd be a decent recovery. There is a good history, if the program is set up right, of recovery from these types of government programs. Decent recovery most recently from the effort in the 90s to provide a backstop liquidity to the Mexican market during the Latin American financial crisis returned a hefty profit to the taxpayer. But you really got to get the program right, and we are not even close to addressing the economic fundamentals required restructuring loans for homeowners that would permit us to make a reasonable judgment about that.
I have a second question, which is, does anybody care to guess or estimate what will happen to the value of the dollar if this $700 billion does go through?
Ed Paisley here. I'll take a stab at that. Again, it's very difficult to say what will happen until we have the full parameters of the plan in front of us. But if this is done well and transparently and happens quickly and efficiently at the same time, then I do think that the international markets will see that the U.S., unlike Japan, is moving quickly and decisively to clean up and move on. And that has to be good for, you know, U.S. credit and the U.S. dollar. But if it's done wrong, if the Treasury just takes these securities on their books and has no mechanism to get rid of them, then, you know, investors have to wonder what's Treasury going to do with the $700 billion they just spent. If there isn't a way for the for Treasury to turn around and move these assets off their books, then I think there could be a problem for confidence in the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar.
Okay, thank you.
And we have another phone question coming from Lorraine Wollert from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Do you have an opinion on whether the final plan should be limited to repurchase of mortgage securities, or should it be broader to include other financial instruments? And then second, should any final deal include provisions on executive pay?
This is Michael Barr. I'll take a stab at that. Others may have different views. I think there are we're at a time of extraordinary limited resources. The federal deficit and the national debt have ballooned over the last 8 years. We're spending enormous resources already through the bailouts that have been announced on the financial crisis. And so we need to be, I think, as targeted as can be on the heart of the crisis. So I would suggest that home mortgage assets are the appropriate focus of the initiative, not a broad and generalized bailout of any instrument for anyone. So that's where I would suggest the focus be.
Any other opinions? And is there? Do you think that we should be putting executive pay language into this?
This is Andrew. I'll take a stab at the executive pay question. I think it would depend on the degree to which we, i.e. the taxpayers, end up holding some warrants in these companies. I mean, one of the proposals that is out there would be that any company that participates in the program would then offer up some degree of warrant and options to the Treasury to take a share in the company, in which case, mm-hmm. As shareholders, it seems reasonable to demand certain limits on executive pay and sort of a focus on long-term stability for a company that you now own, as opposed to sort of meeting short-term market demands for quarterly returns. But I think that the debate around the executive pay misses the broader question as to what type of assets should be purchased under the program. And I think Michael is absolutely right that the focus needs to remain on the home mortgages, perhaps also some moderate extension into multifamily mortgages as well, but limited to certainly residential real estate.
So not even commercial?
I would not focus on that.
And I think just to highlight something Andrew said, I do think Andrew's right to point out that multifamily needs to be, and rental housing needs to be, part of this discussion as we go forward.
Yeah, this is Michael Ettlinger. Just one reason to keep the focus on mortgages is because if the kinds of things that Andrew and Michael were describing are to be part of this, it really has to be focused on mortgages.
Okay, thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further phone questions, so I'd like to turn the floor back over to John and our speakers.
Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody once again for joining the call. As I said before, we're recording the call, so it will be available on our website, AmericanProgressAction.org. And if anyone has any follow-up questions, they can contact me. Let me give you my email address again. It's JN, as in Nancy, EUROHR at AmericanProgressAction.org. Thank you all once again very much.